Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
Issue
19?
Yeah, issue 19. We had some problems with time travel and multiverse collision.
Gotcha.
Yep.
God damn it again.
yeah, I know, right? This keeps happening.
See, this is the problem with time travel, is just it causes more issues, maybe, than it helps. Anyway, my name is Nat. I am one of your hosts, and here with me today, as always, is...
Pat.
And Pat, not in a hat for once.
I know, that's really weird.
Yeah.
I got a haircut. I look pretty spiffy. I know they can't see it, but...
Cat it's your, like, Superman S-curl hat
exactly.
Right there.
Cat walked into the studio today without a hat on, and Nat and I were like, excuse me, this is a very private establishment. You're not allowed in here.
It's like, this is a private recording, so...
Yeah.
You need to exit. If you want signatures, you can come back later.
yeah, we do autograph signings later, so...
Anyway. Well, speaking of autograph signings, we have launched a Facebook page, so make sure you check us out on that. And
you can totally hit up, ask us questions if you want us to talk about or whatever.
Yeah, because we definitely want more interaction with you guys.
Yep. You can look us up at Capes and Scowls West on Facebook.
West.
Yeah, all those. Before we plug ourselves into infinity, let's get into news. What do y'all have for us? You got anything, Nat?
I think the first news really is the announcement that Avengers is a week early now. Infinity War is going to be released since April 27th.
I guess it's going to be Black Panther 1.5, but I'm not as excited about it.
I'm excited now because of Black Panther. Now that Black Panther is here and I've seen it, that I can move on to the next part of...
You know what I heard the other day? Somebody told me they heard Merck's reviews about it. I was like, who are you talking to?
About Black Panther?
Yeah!
Like, whoa.
I mean, I guess, like, the mixed reviews would be, like, from somebody, they're like, oh, it's awesome, and then the other person is like, it's amazing!
Right.
Maybe they're like, whoa, which one is it?
This is the time travel multiverse thing. They heard reviews from a different Earth.
And the one where like Michael Bay directed the Black Panther.
Yeah, I'm glad we don't live in that one.
Or in the other universe where M. Night Shyamalan directed the Black Panther.
Twist, he's actually a panther.
He's actually a real Black Panther.
Right, exactly.
Like, turns out it's just a black kitten in a suit.
Yeah.
it's like Gurr, he unzips himself. Now I want to see that movie.
Chadwick Boseman, I have come here. Killmonger, there is something you must know before a final battle.
Speaking of that,
hold on, we gotta still talk about Infinity War.
I feel like any time Black Panther comes up now, it's just going to be a well of tangents.
Right, it's like I think this is an interesting move for comic book stores. The week it was scheduled to release is Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So if you put it out a week early, you get the hardcore crowd has the opportunity to now see it the week early and then participate in Free Comic Book Day and be there, because I mean, here at Griffin the event is huge. Like lines till 4 o'clock in the afternoon from opening an hour early.
You have to be here at least an hour before you expect to get your free comic books.
And so I think that's a really cool move, is to be like, you know what, let's let everybody see the film, and then at this big event, they can all talk about it. Like, it can be part of the festivities to be like, oh my gosh, did you see Infinity War?
And then not only that, but like the sort of, I don't want to say fair weather fans, because that's kind of a put down to just the general moviegoer, but like people who aren't hardcore comic book nerds can then like see the movie and then be like, oh shit, there's free comic books of this out there? I'm going to grab that right now.
Well, the one thing that they were saying is, at least speculation about them doing that too, because it puts it further away from the other movies that are coming out in May, and then it also, and then it comes a week after. It comes a week after Rampage.
Right, and I think Rampage is not going to be a massive hit. I would imagine it's not. I think it's going to hit a very specific audience.
It's going to be big in the box office for maybe...
A week.
And then Avengers will come out.
It has a lot to compete with because of the March releases that it's, you know, it's still, you're going to have March, end of March and the beginning of April is going to split a lot of the audience seeing things that they maybe didn't catch.
Yeah.
So May is absurd too, though. And then I think May ends with Solo, a Star Wars story.
Yeah,
which,
I think it said Memorial Day.
That's probably another big reason is the fact that that's both a Disney product. Mm-hmm. So you give Avengers longer time now to really
there's something else
push that
they said
box
was
office.
Coming out in May too, and I don't remember what it was.
I know it used to be, I think Deadpool was scheduled for May, but I think it's a June release now. Like they've shifted the schedules quite a bit.
Yeah, I have no idea anymore. I'm just gonna wait till the week before and then be like, oh, I guess it's now.
Yeah, there's so many movies to go see this year. But that's I really don't have a lot of news. More discussion topics. Been a rough week for me. So
All right, Kat.
I've got a few different things. Talking about Black Panther and the unzipping of kittens. Apparently, there's like a weird phenomenon at animal shelters, and thanks to Black Panther, a ton of black cats have been adopted into animal shelters. And they're being named after, of course, like movie characters.
Oh yeah, having a cat named Okoye would be like the coolest thing.
Yeah,
whatever. I want a little kitten running around, and be like, "Come here, Killmonger."
Yeah,
that's funny.
I mean,
M'Baku, M'Baku.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Black cat with a white stripe on its back.
Oh yeah. Oh my. God. Now I really want a black cat. Wow. Okay.
You're welcome.
You know, and I honestly that happened to me.
Here. I have to put out my hipster moment. I was adopting black cats before it was cool. I had Elliot in December.
Yeah. Oh, my first cat ever was a black cat, but it did not have a sweet Black Panther name, unfortunately.
No, it did not.
Yeah.
My black cat's name is Nesba, so it's like very like tribal sounding, but not Black Panther.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Hopefully the little black cat, I don't know what, I know that everybody view black cats as like because of like magic and bad luck and blah blah blah.
Bad luck? Have they seen Kiki's Delivery Service? Black cats are awesome.
Yeah.
My only thought process with it is I'm like, look, they look like tiny panthers. They walk around.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, except my first black cat, which is just too fat to look anything. I definitely want a black cat now.
You're welcome.
I want to go cuddle my cats now.
We are all cat people here.
Apparently. Kind of, I'm a dog person as well, but I was not. I'm allergic to cats. Tangent. Anyway.
Okay. So I guess like a little bit of news I have. Do you guys want like happy or kind of weird?
Kind of weird.
Let's go
too
weird.
Okay, so the Rurouni Kenshin creator, I don't have his name written down here, but he was actually recently arrested for possession of child pornography and was fined 300,000 yen for it, which is the equivalent to 3,000 American dollars.
That's
seems like, yeah, it's a very, very...
The dude from Glee literally died in prison. I don't even know what to say to that.
Yeah, Japan still has really weird sort of...
Weird laws, terrible laws.
Concerning that kind of stuff.
That's a weird, like,
I think anime
kind of
ruins that one.
Yeah.
I don't know that I want to talk too much about that. Like, that's a weird
Yeah, I was
thing.
Hoping we wouldn't talk too much about it, but I figured it's kind of...
An interesting mention?
Yeah, an interesting mention, because Rurouni Kenshin is a really good show.
Yeah.
That totally, is really creepy.
Yeah, but I'm never going to watch it the same way again.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, so next.
Let's move on. Kat, what else do you have for us?
So I don't even want to stick to Japan, but talking about Japan, they're going to host the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo, and it's going to be anime-themed.
Yeah.
And I'm so fucking excited. Well, I don't even like the Olympics.
The list of the ambassador characters, do you have that?
Yes, I do. So the cultural ambassadors for the 2020 Olympics are Goku, Naruto, Monkey D. Luffy, Shin-Chan, Sailor Moon, Astro Boy, and more are going to be incorporated as it goes along.
I like how Japan's like cultural ambassadors are just fictional characters.
Well, the best part is, so they had a bunch of school children around from Japan vote for the mascots for the 2020 Olympics.
How's Mario not a cultural mascot for Japan?
It sounded like they're just sticking to animes slash mangas.
So they,
until they have a Mario anime.
They were picked, and it's two blue and pink chibis. I didn't write their names down, and they're freaking adorable. I want a little plushie.
I saw them. They kind of look like Plusle and Minus, like the two.
Well, they said there's a lot of comparison between the red and blue Pokemon. I can't think of their names.
Plus one, minus.
Maybe.
Not them. There's another set, too, that they like, fly around and shit. Anyways, but I don't know my Pokemon that well.
They fly around and shit.
I'm like, starters. I know them.
Right?
Yeah. Is
and
it a Pikachu?
Like, talking when, yeah. Oh, right. I was, like, talking when I was, like, 10. I know those starters.
Right. Bulbasaur?
Yeah. But, yeah, so they were picked
didn't
by the school
didn't they just come children.
Out with Mio? But,
this
I mean,
is cool legendary that's, like, kind of like Mewtwo, guys.
Sorry. Yeah, tangents! But, no, I mean, I don't even normally watch the Summer Olympics. I don't find them as... I mean, the gymnastics part's kind of cool, but then I, like, get... And then I see, like... The 15-year-old girls who just make, yeah, who put me
I
chain.
Love the Summer Olympics.
I don't know, and then you watch the, my favorite part is when you watch the male gymnasts come out, and they are like literal hams on toothpicks because all of their strength is in their upper body.
Well, what they look like is they look like, chibi superheroes.
I know.
Because they're like not, they're like shorter than I am, and I'm not a tall dude, and they just like are built like Batman is in the comics. You know?
It's so cute.
You know, I, yeah, like,
they flip
watching
around
this,
on rings and shit.
Watching
like,
the
wow.
Summer Olympics is probably the closest thing we on this version of Earth
yeah,
will
right.
ever get to superheroes.
Yeah, pretty fucking much.
You know, those people are insane.
I have a specific relationship to the Summer Olympics because when I was old enough to really watch and like, understand what was happening was when the Dream Team happened. So 1992, when Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird were all the Olympic
God.
Super Team. And I love basketball, so I was like, I was in it. So
yeah.
I, ever since then, I love watching the Winter or the Summer Olympics.
Yeah, I have kind of an interesting relationship too, I guess, because my mom actually went to like the Olympic trials for cycling.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, she almost. Almost did it.
That's
yeah.
Cool.
Next time, Mom. Better luck next time.
Awesome.
Oh my God.
All right. So I guess another thing to mention would have to be that Kristen Wiig is now in talks to play Cheetah in Wonder Woman 2. And
well, the fun part is too is they first approached Emma Stone with it too. So I'm like, what are they doing?
I think that's a rumor.
Really?
Because all the stuff that I'm hearing is that. Kristen Wiig was the first choice of Patty Jenkins, so maybe the studio approached Emma Stone?
Probably.
But this is what Patty Jenkins has wanted.
See, that's the thing
okay,
that
Warner Brothers, about. Haven't you learned anything about this? Don't do anything behind Patty Jenkins'
yeah,
back.
Just,
Patty
just,
Patty
just,
Jenkins,
yeah.
Patty Jenkins.
Seriously.
Well, that's the thing is now I'm like super intrigued, though. There was somebody who was like, I don't know. I think they should pick Charlize Theron. I have a very biased view. They could make a movie of Charlize Theron eating a sandwich and I would have tickets a month in advance.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's fair. I think
I mean,
you...
personally, I'd like to see Zoe Saldana, but she's kind of wrapped up in other things currently.
She might be a Marvel stable.
Yeah.
I like this casting choice and I have a lot of faith in Patty Jenkins to surprise us.
Yeah.
Well, so the other thing is, too, is Melissa McCarthy, she's also doing a serious role. I can't remember what she's doing, but she's also doing a serious role. So I'm very intrigued right now. Like,
well, Kristen Wiig's a very versatile actor. She's done serious roles.
I've never, like, I've only seen her recently in a lot of, like, fucking shtick stuff, basically.
Yeah, I mean, she's in, like, some SNL stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like...
I know, she did my favorite...
Yeah.
One of my favorite
but, like,
in SNL.
But even, like, in her SNL stuff, she, like, plays a very good, like, straight character.
Well, and I'm
and
thinking,
I mean that as in, like, straight and funny, man, not, like, straight.
I'm well, she actually... Hopefully she's gay, because in the New 52... Or not New 52, the Rebirth run, the character is.
Oh, really?
She well,
I
Minerva, the...
Yeah, Barbara Ann Minerva, that's who
she's
playing.
She...
Meow.
Yeah. Well, hopefully...
God,
they get
so
to
many
take
inappropriate jokes.
They get to take some of that stuff. I'm more concerned about what they're saying that this is going to be set in the 80s. And I just don't.
Well, they're saying it's in the Cold War era, and I don't understand what they're going to do with that because my first thought is Cold War era Russia. Cheetahs don't belong in what?
Well, and yeah, there's got to be like jungle stuff for really for that character to work.
I mean, like, we're hearing
is rumors too. Like,
I mean, like
really
the Cold War, like it wasn't just U.S. versus Russia, so that would be interesting if it focused on like one of like the hundreds of or like dozens of proxy wars that were happening all around.
It could
know?
Be something.
You could have it take place in like the Middle East, like,
right.
or you could have it take place in like parts of like. you know, it could be in, like, South America. You like, know, there was a big, like, U.S. and Russia thing they, down there. Or it could even be, like, in Vietnam or something.
Oh,
like
that would be really interesting. I think what would be really cool is if it was a war on two fronts for her. And this is, now we're just doing, like, some speculation stuff. But if Cheetah
Patty
is,
Jenkins, if you need to tap us, yeah. writers.
My biggest thing is I don't know anything about Cheetah. The only thing that I really know about Cheetah is she's, like, her like, big adversary.
She's a major scientist, and in the Rebirth run, she's kind of instrumental in getting Wonder Woman to exist and learn our society. Mm-hmm. So it would be really interesting if she's somebody who studied her as a result of what happened during World War One, mm-hmm. and is searching for Themyscira. Like, that would be an interesting storyline, mm-hmm. because if she brings people
isn't that what she did in the comics?
I don't know, and like the classical ones, but that would be a really interesting story where Wonder Woman is dealing. Well, Wonder Woman is dealing with like the actual Cold War stuff, but then hears that Themyscira is being invaded, and how do you get back there when she's not allowed to go back?
Well, no, that was my thing. Is I thought in the comics she was actually looking for Amazons.
Oh yeah, she is. She has an idea that they existed.
She was a scientist, a cultural scientist, wasn't she? And she was actually looking for Amazons within the comics.
So I think that'll be really cool. And like, it's something that happens to her. She gets cursed and turns into the Cheetah. Yeah. I would be okay with her being Barbara and Minerva through the entirety of the film. And then the end, she gets cursed, and we have the villain for the third film is actually Cheetah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I said, I don't know anything about Cheetah, like, at all. I don't know Wonder Woman's villains that well, except for Ares, and that's because Green God!
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot to mine there. But I don't know. Yeah. This casting sounds really cool to me.
Yeah, really. Honestly, I'm super down for it. Yeah. So, like, if P-Jenks has faith in her, then I got faith in P-Jenks. So, you know.
That's interesting what they're doing, so.
Yeah. Patty, I hope you're okay with me calling you P-Jenks.
Sorry.
Yeah, so...
I mean, my last bit of news is just kind of silly, but apparently, like, a fake cancellation rumor hit the internet about SpongeBob, and people kind of lost their minds.
Oh, I saw that, actually.
The SpongeBob cartoon?
Yeah, SpongeBob was being canceled. Was ending March 1st, and people were kind of...
I didn't know SpongeBob was still being animated.
It is.
Yeah, they renewed it for season 12, so nobody worry, SpongeBob is still around, but... Woo!
Yay, irrelevant.
But...
Yeah, I definitely don't watch SpongeBob anymore. As a 25-year-old male, I definitely don't watch SpongeBob.
It's kind of bad, though, because all of the memes that I see, I'm just like, oh my god, SpongeBob is so relatable. It's so bad. Like, I think about the one I see all the time with the guy who's like, this is your life, and it's the dude who's like in the car going to work, at the office going to work. He all looks dead in the eyes this entire time, mind you. And then he's in the car again going back from work, and then he's at home staring out the window with these dead eyes, and I'm like, oh my god.
I have to say, as an animation student, I did not watch SpongeBob. I watched Avatar, and that's where I stand.
Okay, from an animation standpoint, SpongeBob isn't the best. However, from like a writing standpoint, SpongeBob is like one of the most amazing things. And also probably like one of the most quoted shows ever where I work.
Really?
Like, oh my god, yes. Yeah, it's on my Facebook all the damn time.
Yeah, there's probably like at least 12 SpongeBob quotes a day. Like, with me and my coworkers, so, you know, that's...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Different strokes.
I grew up with it, I still have the Krusty Krab Pizza song stuck in my head from when I was, like, six.
Basically, Nat, Kat, and I are trying to tell you that you're wrong about this, and SpongeBob is amazing, and, like,
sure,
both of us think slightly less of you now.
That's right, I'm gonna go home and watch Voltron season.
It's like a left-hand, it's alright. Yeah.
You do you.
I don't understand these jokes.
Yeah.
I just want to see cool animation.
Yeah, it's like, if I want jokes, I'm gonna go with jokes and cool animation and watch Invader Zim. So...
Okay, not gonna get into tangent there.
Oh my god.
Okay, so I guess another bit of news is that the Wreck-It Ralph 2 trailer finally dropped. Wreck-It Ralph breaks the internet.
God, this trailer was so good.
So
good.
I just have the little girl screaming in my head.
God, oh my gosh. The little girl looks like baby Moana.
Okay, so
well,
I wasn't
right?
crazy,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess she kind of does.
So adorable. pancake milkshake. Oh my god, I've watched this.
I just got it too. Cats have milk, so that's why it gets the milkshake.
Oh, that's hilarious. Bunnies don't eat pancakes. From personal experience, I know this.
Have you ever tried to give a bunny a pancake? I wouldn't, but...
No. Yeah, so most grains, no.
Yeah, I guess aside from the trailer, like, the only other thing I know about this is Disney has tapped every previous voice actor for Disney princesses to appear... Yes. To do, like, voice cameos in a scene where... I'm assuming he goes into some sort of Disney princess fan page, and it actually has all of the Disney princesses voicing their characters.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know, there are elements in this trailer, like the cat painting. And she's like, that's going to sit with me for a few weeks.
Yeah, they go to eBay. Like, yeah. It looks like everything I want from, like, an internet movie.
Right, like, it's so, like, joking.
There's, like, the pop-ups, like, with, these celebrities have gone to prison. Yeah. Number 6 will surprise you. Yeah. Ooh, that sounds interesting.
It's so, like...
I forgot about that.
It's, the unfortunate thing about this movie is it's probably going to be of its time. But, the time is now, and I am totally okay with it.
It probably won't age well, which doesn't really matter, because I'm still going to be there in the theaters watching it.
Me too. I love the first Wreck-It Ralph. I think that's one of the movies that doesn't get talked about enough. And this just looks hilarious. That end sequence with the bunny and the cat.
Oh my god. You can't describe it. Watch the trailer.
The animation is beautiful. The sad bunny. Highly recommend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm so excited. Did they give a release date? I can't remember.
It's Thanksgiving.
I'm laughing too hard at that point to even know what's said.
I know, I was like laughing and like contemplating. I was like I was thinking about sad cat painting.
The first time I watched the trailer, I was here in the store and I started laughing so hard that I even missed the end part of the joke with the pancakes. The second time, I'm not going to ruin it for people. Just go and watch it. It's so funny.
All right. Are we moving on to other news yet?
I don't think I do, actually. Got one more, go for it. I think I ran out.
Yeah, so all I have is that Dark Horse is doing a new Avatar The Last Airbender trilogy, as well as... free comic book day promotional stuff, and I believe some sort of one-shot compilation volume, something like that. So this is really interesting, and I still think that they have, why am I forgetting his name? Mike DiMartino writing it. I forget the illustrator on it.
I know that Gene Luen Yang is part of the compilation one.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, that would make sense since he has written...
Yeah, he's written quite a bit of Avatar stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he wrote the first, like, 9, graphic novels.
Which is great.
Yeah, all of them so good.
I'm still waiting for Kanitsko and DiMartino's, like, actual comic that they've been working on for a few years.
Have they been working on a comic together? Oh, my gosh. So. I still want... I know, like, everyone's probably hounding them for a new Avatar series, but I just want one more that takes place in the modern day. Because with the Avatar reincarnation cycle, Korra took place in the 20s, basically.
Right.
So that would, the 20s. So that would make sense that the new Avatar would take place in modern day times. And that's it. That's all I want. I don't want a future Avatar. I think it would be amazing to see
a future Avatar just run around.
A current one. What would it be? Earth. It would be the new Avatar.
Would it be Earth, Water?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because Earth, Fire, Air, Water. Earth, Fire, Air, Water. Yeah.
And then, which would be a really interesting concept to have a metal bender Avatar in modern day society.
Write this, man.
Also, guys, if you need to tap me as a writer for Avatar,
great.
Always available.
Yeah, no, we're totally like we're in fanfic mode apparently.
Kniska and DiMartino, like I'll have drafts on your desk for like pilots.
Seriously, that's amazing.
You're like, I'll have them there in 10 minutes if you need them.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Well, we should. So we're gonna roll a bit of news into a discussion. Marvel has announced Fresh Start, which is kind of unclear as to what that is.
You can't, I mean, I'm hoping they can hear me sigh from back here.
But
that's really the hope at this point.
There's sort of an initiative of a creative changes happening at Marvel, good and bad. It doesn't seem like it's an event, but it seems like they're handling it like an event. I don't really understand.
So basically from what I understand of it is that they're having such like an exodus of creators from their pantheon, so to speak, that they're basically taking all the major creators now and sort of putting them to like together just so that they can continue putting out as quality material or close to as quality material as they have to try to sort of fill in these gaps that is going to be left behind.
I look at this and I don't get it. It looks like they're doing a creator driven sort of initiative, which is good. I mean, that's what you want for a comic book studio, I think, or comic book publisher. I think Image being the template for creator-driven content. They're also just not dealing with continuity, which is helpful.
Yeah.
But...
And that's their Image. They don't give a fuck.
Well, it's... I mean, they're
I do what I want!
Yeah, basically.
A printing house that says yes, no, you know, like whether or not it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Whereas opposed to...
DC and Marvel are like, guys, do you like this? People, fans, do you like this? Yeah. People like that, do you like this? And Image is like, this is a comic, read it or not, bitch, don't give a fuck.
See, that's the thing, though, is like, even, I don't even feel like Marvel, DC is doing that really right now. It's just Marvel's like, hey, we fucked up!
I don't know if Marvel every like 2 years has to have like a rebirth event or whatever. Like, I get it, you can draw in a bunch of new readers with number one titles, but at the same time, like, how many number ones can you have before you push off like the old readership?
That's the thing. There's the question of whether or not the old readership is enough to drive the industry forward. Like,
it's really what it's come down to. Right. Anymore.
I mean, because they're like, from a Marvel fan's perspective, for me, like, most of my favorite Marvel things and the thing that got me into Marvel was not just the new number ones, but the new characters and the new takes that they've had on it. It seems like with this Fresh Start, they're not actually giving us a fresh start for Marvel as a universe. They're just giving fresh starts to the old, I'm going to use this word again, pantheon of superheroes.
Yeah.
Like, they're not, it doesn't seem like they're actually, like, bringing in many new faces.
Gotcha.
Many new characters, many new... And it doesn't seem like they're actually making a fresh start in comics. They're just making a fresh start in publishing.
I think there's a little bit of the group of readers that came in when you did. Those characters, many of them are not going away, and they're you know, people are hooked on those already.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a portion of the readership that was lost because of those events, and this kind of has the opportunity to bring them back. Like, I had never...
But they already tried to do that with, like, Legacy.
Yeah, but Legacy wasn't a thing. Like, this is what I don't understand. Like, this, from the retailer's perspective, I still don't know what Legacy was. It literally looks like a numbering initiative. It didn't do anything for storytelling, with the exception of Captain America. Captain America, they literally went back to a classic version of Cap, whereas everything else just didn't seem like they were doing anything special with.
That's fair. But, they tried to do that, like, and not only with Legacy, but also Generations.
Yeah, Generations, I have no problem calling that a total bust. Like, they seem like they introduced concepts there that we just never saw. However, this fresh start has more to do with Generations and the original Legacy one-shot than what Legacy has been thus far. The Avengers story is going to deal with that, the Legacy one-shot where you see, like, the original Avengers where it's Odin and the first Black Panther. That is part of that first arc of this new Avengers title. And then Black Panther is going to get a new number one, and they're going to talk about the Galactic Embassy of Wakanda, which was once again in the Generations book. So I don't, like, I feel like 2017 as a whole for Marvel was a transitional period that they attempted too much synergy and failed to take advantage of the things that were being creative and different. And now at the end, you know, ending 2017 with Legacy that didn't turn out very well, moving into 2018, this is the actual what can we really do. Because I'm excited about the creative teams. I'm saddened that Somni has left Marvel and that Gabriel Walta has left Marvel as well. Are you talking about the creators that have left the stables?
And then, of course, Bendis.
DC, what?
Well, that's the thing. Is like a lot of these other creators have not announced what they're doing next. Please get me Somni on a Batman book. I would lose my shit.
It might be interesting if all these guys are actually leaving to form their own publishing house.
Oh my god, another Image
scenario? Wouldn't that be crazy?
Well, my biggest thing with this is, like, they're like, oh, we're doing this and all these great creative teams, and I'm like, I have no faith in you right now.
But that's...
I don't do well with a lot of back and
forth. I think that's completely unfair to Marvel.
It's not... I would say it's unfair to Marvel, and it's also unfair to solely the creators who are behind these, because the ones that they are tapping to come together to basically be the Marvel's comics Avengers, like, they are amazing writers and artists, and, like, they all, in their own works, are so unbelievably talented that, like, you can't throw shade on any of them.
I'm not throwing shade on them. I think it's just Marvel. They kind of, they're reminding me of DC Cinematic Universe when it comes to this right now.
That's a really good comparison.
That's the best way I can put it. Because they're, it seems like they're trying to do their, what did we have, like, what, not even, I think the last recording we did or something close to that, how many Logan, how many Wolverine comics do we fucking need? And now we have Weapon H. I'm just like, I don't care. You're beating me to death with all of these, like, characters, and I'm not getting any real story.
Right. From our perspective, as both readers and people, like, behind the scenes, we're seeing the whole of Marvel, where I really feel like we need to look at the sub-entities, because you have something like Weapon H, which doesn't seem to be part of this fresh start. It just happens to be getting its number one during this time. And like that, I have no excitement at all for. Whereas the list of creators, if I don't talk about Amazing Spider-Man, I'm really doing myself a disservice as a fan. My favorite ongoing comic book had been Invincible, which just finished. And Ryan Otley is now going to be penciling Amazing Spider-Man. That is, for me, sign me up day one on that book for as long as he is on the run.
I know.
And that's like...
Yeah, and then the fact that they're getting, like, my man Ta-Nehisi Coates to write Captain America.
Yeah, that's huge, such an
amazing
deal.
Concept. The writer for Black Panther is now going to be writing Captain America. So, like...
No, and like, I'm totally interested in that stuff, and that's awesome, and it's great. It's just at this point I'm going to, like, sit here on the edge of caution, because they're like... I mean, prime example, it was, I can't even think what it's called, but it's so bad. The stupid Captain America thing, the big thing that went on.
Secret Empire.
Secret Empire. It's gonna be great, it's so, this is awful. And that's my thing, I'm just kind of sitting here. I will gladly try things, but it's not, I don't blame the creators for any of this, because at the end of the day, they're at the mercy of what Marvel dictates. Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about it later, but Gwenpool is a prime example of that.
Yeah.
You brought up the DC Cinematic Universe, and it's like, it's very much that, you know, Warner Brothers has been screwing things up as opposed to the people who are actually making the films. In this instance, it seems like the executives at Marvel have not had enough of a creative direction for the entirety of the line. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's what Marvel doesn't need. Maybe you don't need a line-wide thing. Like, maybe that's the issue is, like, there's too much synergy. Like, everything has to be connected, whereas opposed to just telling good stories.
Yeah, I think that's a very apt thing, like, with the DC Cinematic Universe and Marvel Comics Universe, is that they keep looking at the whole forest and they get lost in the trees. Or the trees get lost in the forest. I don't know how to make that metaphor.
They can't see the forest through the trees.
They can't see the trees in the forest in this instance, because, like, yeah, they're just trying to
all
do...
All
like,
they see is the forest, so there's not an individual tree that stands out.
Exactly, and they... And, like, that's ultimately what it comes down to, because you can't have, like, a good Avengers if you don't have a good set of characters to team up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just, like, I don't know, like... Going back, like, one of my favorites, Miss Marvel, is such a phenomenon.
Yeah.
But she's just by herself for the longest time.
My favorite Marvel book right now is Thanos, and it literally... Yeah. Not only does it not exist in, like, the normal Marvel continuity, I mean, I guess technically it is, but it's in a future, and it's in a cosmic future. So it's like... All the characters that you're seeing are future dark interpretations of themselves from, like, 100,000 years from now. It's, how would that, like, that's so tangentially related to the rest of the Marvel
Universe. Well,
the
thing is, too, is if you realize right now, too, a lot of the stuff that, really good stuff that is coming out of DC is everything that's out of continuity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not everything, but a lot of stuff out of continuity.
Right. But you look at their core stable. The thing that DC is doing correctly is not having mega events.
Thank freaking God.
And I think this might be Marvel saying that they're not going to have mega events, hopefully. Because that's what,
at least
me,
for
a is
while,
really
I mean, they totally can, because, like, you know, like, Secret Wars was a very good event. Civil War II, I personally really liked as an event.
I'm tired, how do you go from Civil War II ending in, what was that, January of...
2016, I believe.
No, I think it ended in January of 2017. And then you have the entirety of Secret Empire in 2017 as well. It's like, give us a year.
Yeah.
I think what happened,
what they're trying to do is, like, both Secret Wars and Civil War II were such, like, publishing successes for them that now they're just like, oh, people want events? We'll give them events.
Yeah.
You want an event? We'll give you a goddamn event.
Right.
I've actually been looking at the idea of, because there's been a lot of discussion of what comics are going forward. Like, what is the format? And I've heard rumors about the numbering for these new titles for the fresh start, is that it's going to have your number one, and then there's going to be a subnumbering that is the actual number of the title. So it's like, it may say Amazing Spider-Man number one, but it's actually Amazing Spider-Man 374.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not, by the way.
What?
It's not, like, even
My biggest thing is...
To 374?
Like,
yeah. Oh, is it? Oh, The Amazing Spider-Man. I was just thinking Spider-Man in general. My bad.
No, Peter Parker Spider-Man just hit 300. So,
okay.
So I'm assuming Amazing
is going to be good stories, that's fine.
My bad now.
But stop. Now we have, what, now Wolverine's coming back, and that's going to be 17 issues.
Yeah.
And 17 different things.
You know, I don't think it's actually going to be that bad if what I'm getting from Black Panther 170, it's just going to be, like, one-page backups and, like, a bunch of different comics.
For the Wolverine?
Yeah.
No, it's Hunt for Wolverine, which is its own issue, and there are four-issue miniseries that are tied to
it. Oh, so it's actually going to be full-issue things.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the thing, is, like, I just don't want them to be suggested.
That's more to do with Infinity Countdown. The one...
Oh.
I just don't want them to beat to death any more of these old characters. Stop giving me new Wolverines.
Yeah.
Stop giving me
Dear Marvel, as a Marvel fan, I will say I'm not going to read an event that you put out there. I'm going to read your characters if your solo character series, if they are well done.
Yep.
So, like, the beginning issue of, what was it, X-Men Red? Yep. They gave me three or four different X-Men at this point. I don't, there might even be more. I don't even know.
X-Men books?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's, like, what, four?
Three or four? Of the main title X-Men books,
Blue, Gold,
four.
Red.
So there's...
Blue, Gold, Red, and Astonishing.
Astonishing,
so
that's
there's
right.
Four. One. One is fine.
Yeah.
And how many of those does everybody really enjoy? So two?
Two would be my prime number. The
well,
way
yeah,
it's always
like,
been X-Men and Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah, so,
which is fine. Like,
yeah, well, there's so
X-Men
many of those characters.
X-Men.
Yeah.
But
and
I don't need five Wolverine comics.
And then that's reaching two different... like audiences too, X-Men being for the classic X-Men fan, and then Uncanny being for people who want something grittier and like a little darker.
I think you do the reverse of that, but yes.
But that's,
Uncanny is the classic one.
But that's
the thing, you have so many characters
in X-Men, you can do that.
Right, but you need to make, if I read Uncanny X-Men and I read X-Men, I don't need Wolverine on both of these teams.
Nope.
Yeah.
That is my major issue is if you're going to have another subtitle, why are you using the same characters?
This isn't Batman and Detective Comics
where it's like we're gonna tell adventure stories in one book and detective stories in another.
Well it's kind of the same concept of Detective Comics is Bat Family, and then you've got their own titles, which you've got Batwoman and Detective Comics, and I think some of those are actually matching up right now. I haven't really been keeping a very close watch, but
yeah.
You have Bat Family, and then their stories.
Yes. Yeah, like, have a Rogue series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's exactly what I said earlier.
I just
don't
want
like, I don't need all these things. Just give me, like, well-made solo series for all these characters. Like, yeah.
I don't
care about an X-Men thing, but, like, if Rogue is a good book...
Yeah.
Then I'll buy it. If it's not just a shameless spinoff of X-Men. Or, like... Yeah. You know, I don't care. Just give us one of the random ass.
Pretty flat too, didn't it?
No,
it got pretty well.
Yeah,
it had good reception, and then it kind of petered off, though, from what I understand.
Well, I mean, doing things is ongoing, so oftentimes people have a really core concept generally for a single story, and then they just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where the problems are. Unless you're Jason Aaron, because apparently that's
he's continuously right, like ever escalating stories forever.
Right. Speaking of which, he's not leaving Thor. I want to talk about some of these creative teams.
Yeah.
Thor, Jason Aaron, and Mike Del Mundo, who is this breathtaking painterly art that is going to be amazing. Avengers is Jason Aaron as well, which I think that's one of the smartest decisions Marvel's made in a long time,
mm-hmm.
is get the person who knows how to do epic storytelling over a long format, writing your epic lead characters in the team book.
Mm-hmm.
This is like DC putting Scott Snyder on Justice League.
Yeah.
With Ed McGuinness doing the art, and Ed McGuinness is like, to me, one of the poster boys for... This is a superhero, you know, like, this is not meant to be real. This is dramatic and almost cartoony. Like, you should enjoy this.
Yeah.
Larger than life, yes. His Captain Marvel's brilliant. She looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing Spider-Man, written by Nick Spencer, which worries me, but I'm going to read it because Ryan Otley's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost Rider, the Cosmic Ghost Rider is getting a miniseries by Donny Cates, who created the character, and that's, if you're not reading Thanos, you're doing yourself a disservice. It's really awesome. Captain America, Ta-Nehisi Coates, and Lionel Yu. Like, that's a multicultural creative team on the white bread Captain America, you know, like this is, that's interesting in and of itself, regardless of where the story
Falcon's
goes.
Going to show up in those.
Hell yeah, Falcon's going to show up. There's no reason not to throw him in that book.
Ta-Nehisi Coates writing Captain America. You'd probably like, don't make Falcon. Damn it, I just wrote Falcon.
Yeah.
Stop writing his name.
Stop writing Falcon. Oh God, I'm writing a Falcon miniseries.
I want to see Coates handle everybody. I want Winter Soldier to be in that book.
Oh my God, that would be awesome. I want to see him do Black Widow and Captain America.
Yeah,
he technically did. I don't even know what's going on.
Black Widow? Yeah.
Let's give it
15 minutes. She'll come back to life in some insane way.
That was a dumb decision. Let's kill off the character that everybody wants a film of in the comic books. Yeah, let's not do stupid things with that.
Yeah. Marvel, we love
female
you.
Female power and a character who was literally one of the best miniseries of the past 10 years, and you just kill her off.
If anybody can do it, Ta-Nehisi Coates is like dealing with Sherry, bringing her back to life. If anybody can do it,
there you go.
Can bring her back to life and give her like cosmic dream powers.
Yeah.
You know?
Awesome. I forgot I read that. I was really curious. I was like, what?
Yeah, you're like, what am I talking about? Oh, wait, Black Panther brings Sherry back to life and she has cosmic dream powers.
Yeah, so those are just a portion of the creative teams that have been announced thus far, and they're great. Like, that's so exciting.
Like I said, I have absolutely no issue with any of the creators. I think the ones that are, like, basically holding them back and messing with them is Marvel itself, and that's what's... That's where I lose my faith.
Yeah. And like I said, I wonder if this is like all these people leaving and then the only people staying is a reaction to the new editor-in-chief because of all the
Cebulski
controversy around that.
Well, you don't want something like that to ruin your career either.
It's interesting because the creators that are staying have said really positive things about his leadership. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I'm tentatively excited. I'm excited about the books themselves. I don't need another event.
Yeah.
That's kind of where
they announce an event, I'm just going to throw.
Well, Infinity Countdown is happening, and I'm actually more excited for that than I anticipated. But
I think basically what we're trying to say is Marvel, get your shit together before you put it out on the shelves. But we'll still be tentatively there.
Yeah.
I will try. I will. I'm not saying I will just. You know, I will try, because the Star Wars series that I've read are pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that I'm not going to try and read these. I'm just saying, if I catch any whiff of some sort of them trying to build to an event, or just, like, fucking with characters because they can, I'm just going to put it back and walk away.
All right. Well, that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Do we have enough time to discuss?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, with that said, let's get into our review. So this was one that I actually, right before we started, forced Nat and Kat to read, because
it's fine, I had a nice morning cry.
Yeah, right?
I think as you'll agree with me, it was well worth it, which is The Unbelievable Gwenpool number 25, written by Christopher Hastings with art by Guru Hero. And I don't even know where to start. This is one of my favorite characters in the new Marvel lineup, or was the new Marvel lineup, coming to an end, and probably one of the most bittersweet comics I've read this year so far, easily. And like, I was laughing, I was crying, I was trying not to laugh and trying not to cry. I kind of want to hear you guys' take on it, though, as people who, if I'm correct, haven't really kept up with the story.
I haven't read them very much. I mean, honestly, me personally, I will probably buy all the trades just because I'm slightly interested now. But
that's how Gwenpool will live on, right?
Pretty much. But I was reading some of it. I mean, I was reading it, and I'm like, why didn't... I might even just go, when I go to Comic-Con this year, end up buying all of the single issues.
Yeah, just try to track them down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say to that, like, honestly, the first few arcs of this probably weren't the best, but once she starts developing her powers, then it becomes one of the best books.
Well, my biggest thing is like, the one point that you always brought to my attention that I always fucking love is the sheer amount of shit she talked to Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still in the final issue. Still talking shit to Marvel.
This is a book to me that just, it can't exist in another media. Like, it would have to be completely changed. Her power set would have to be changed to be celebrating whatever media it's in. Like, if you ever did a movie of Gwenpool, it was like, she would have to have the ability to manipulate film.
Because my idea for a Gwenpool movie is more of a heist film where she's finally getting her own movie. But she wants Deadpool to cameo in it. But Sony has the rights to Deadpool, so she has to go on... or Fox, excuse me. Fox has the rights to Deadpool, so she, as a person, has to go on a mission to break into Fox to steal back the rights. And she gets, like, all the Avengers, or, like, that's some of the awesome. Avengers, like, as real-life people to come and help her on this. So she's like, all you guys, like, you've been trained in hand-to-hand combat for, like, you know, actually playing Thor. Like, why don't you, I need you to come and help me.
So getting, like, the actors as opposed to the
actual, like, Tyler Johansson is just like, who the hell and are
I
just, you?
I want a really great scene with whoever plays Gwen, like, with an actual gun on the set and all the Avengers and their, like, outfits being like, oh my god, she has a gun.
Like, that's amazing.
Like, Iron Man and Captain America, like, Robert Downey Jr. and Chris, and, like, Chris Hemsworth and all those people, like, oh my god. Jeez, like, just as Thor and stuff. Just,
I would
just
love
with
to
a regular
see,
handgun.
Like, Drax, you know, Dave Bautista being, like, this massive guy. I'm like, don't do this! You know?
Yeah, like, ah!
That's funny. We are really in, like, fanfic mode today.
Yeah, right. Once again, Marvel, if you need to tap me for Gwenpool movie, like, please feel free. But anyway, back to the topic at hand.
Yeah, it's like, it is a celebration of being a comic book character and, mm-hmm. you know, comics themselves, what stories can be told and, like, some sort of the irrelevance of the events that have passed, you know, like, it's, everything can change and everything can be happy if you want it to be, but, and people are going to constantly discover titles that have existed, you know, like that's,
yeah,
that's a very bittersweet moment in the early part of this book is the,
I'm just like sitting over here. I'm like, it's fine to destroy my childhood. Like,
you know, Gwenpool is not going to end with this issue because somebody is going to pick up a trade paperback or somebody is going to pick up.
Yeah. I just want to read this one part because I think this one line stuck out to all of us, reading it. And this is semi-future Gwen talking to present Gwen. And future Gwen says, no, see, you still have an outsider's perspective. This moment right here, it's not just happening in February 2018 when Gwenpool number 25 comes out. It's happening in June 2019 in the trade. And it's happening in September of 2025 when someone finds this in a library. And later, and later, and later. Right now, someone is reading this moment years after all the people who made this comic died. You don't just live here, you're in video games, toys, you guest star in other titles, fan art, fan fiction, roleplay, Twitter accounts. Someday one of those fans might get a pro gig and remember to stick you in some new version of the Great Lake Avengers.
That's such a, like, a poetic thing, and that's a celebration, really, of...
I feel like the age thing needs to be mentioned, too, because it's her little bit of talking shit to him still.
Right? Well, and it's also, like, it's this idea that media isn't the same as it used to be. Like, we kind of all share some element of creating within these characters, you know? Like, there's so much interplay with, you know, cosplay and... fanfic, you know, like
I'm just like reading it. I'm like, I'm an adult. I'm fine.
Right? Yeah. It is. It's like this year has had two endings for series that have been
well,
absolutely
a lot of
enjoyable.
Things are coming to an end too. Because I think all of Michael Bendis' titles, except for what is it,
Spider-Man,
except for Spider-Man, is coming to an end. Defenders. Yeah. Jessica Jones, just heartbreaking.
And then the idea also presented in this that Gwenpool's powers of comics are of space, how like space and time in the format of comics comes together.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And just this is just such a bittersweet moment for me. It's such an amazing book, and like if you've been keeping up with Gwenpool, it's such a amazing end to the story. It makes me want it to continue even more now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, as you heard from Nat and Kat, even if you haven't read this yet, go pick up this book and it's fine by itself.
Even if you haven't read it.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of a touching comic because it's just like, hey, I'm ending. And then, everybody thinks of their favorite comics or favorite something that ended and they're like, wait, There's no more.
Yeah. And then, of course, the writer Christopher Hastings in the end letters section mentions that it's not the most important aspect of this. It's not some fantasy or science fiction device that brings her into the universe. It's you, as the reader. it's her being in your minds and hearts that makes her such a real and lovable character. And I think that's true for anything, not just comics, but literature in general, mm-hmm. and anything. And, oh gosh,
stuff with
I'm
going to
start
man.
Crying.
Okay, right.
But
yeah, don't cry on air.
I think before I cry, this might be a good place to end the issue. So
you gotta go get him a tissue.
All right, well, let's say goodbye, everybody.
Bye.